Coming up on Which Way Is Life, episode number 14, my guest today, Dr. Dawn Nappe. So what do you do if you suffer a tragic loss? How do you rebuild your life? Dr. Dawn Nappe is going to tell you how coming up. Which Way Is Life is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/whichwayislife. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. Which Way Is Life is also brought to you by Real Salt. You get all the minerals, all the flavor, all the benefits of sea salt that's real. Real Salt brand sea salt.
Which Way Is Life? Your roadmap to a healthier, inspired life. Bill talks with trendsetting doctors, fitness gurus, life coaches, celebrities, athletes, and other interesting experts to help you find the life you want to live. Get inspired. Get healthy. Reconnect with life. Here's Bill Klaproth.
Joining me today is Dr. Dawn Marie Nappe. And for those of us with children, worrying about your child's safety is basically a full-time job. It's a constant second-guessing game of wondering if they are safe and healthy. At This Moment is a book written by my guest. It's a mother's story about the unthinkable happening, her 14-year-old daughter's tragic death from a car accident. Dr. Nappe is here to share her story, and she shares it in this book via a heartfelt memoir in which she details the foreboding moments leading up to the accident, as well as her journey to restore and rebuild the remaining pieces of her life through faith and hope. Dr. Nappe, thank you so much for your time today. Can you just quickly let us in on your personal life a little bit and give us some background?
Oh, absolutely. Well, I am a mother of four beautiful children. Obviously, Angelica's in heaven, and I have three other children. Nicolette, who's 21, Joseph, who just turned 20, and my son, Avelino, who will be 6 on Halloween. I've been married almost 24 years to a wonderful man, Joe. And I am also a teacher of third grade in the Central Islip School District. I've been teaching for about 16 years now.
All right. Well, thank you so much for that. And I like to start the show with a thing that I called the one thing. So, Dr. Nappe, let me ask you this. Can you quickly share with us one thing someone can do today to improve their life?
Yes, absolutely. It would be to learn how to forgive people who have offended you or hurt you.
Well, it's always easier said than done, and as I talk to you throughout this interview, hopefully you can shed a little bit more light on that. But just to give us a little bit of context, Dr. Nappe, can you briefly share with us what happened to your daughter, Angelica?
Absolutely. It was a beautiful day in February. We were on the winter break, and my girls, Angelica and Nicolette, had been praise dancers in the church that we were attending. And for the longest time, they had wanted to have a sleepover with my pastor's daughter because they were all dancers. And we decided that that would be a great time to have it. So that Monday night, the 18th of February, I dropped them off. And the next day, they were en route to go to the movies to see Step Up to the Streets. And 12:18, a man who was under the influence of heroin, he had very, very little amounts in his system, so it wasn't enough to convict him. He ended up running his red light under the intersection of 101 and Woodside Avenue in Medford, and he broadsided the car exactly where my daughter Angelica was sitting. And pretty much she was dead on impact, but they kept her on life support for 3 days, and we had taken her off that Friday.
You know, you think of these things happening late at night with drunk drivers, but right in the middle of the day.
Right in the middle of the day. It was such a beautiful day. I mean, we never expected anything to happen because the day was just so perfect. You know, I was on vacation myself. I was having lunch with my friends, and I got the dreaded phone call that every parent's worst nightmare.
Hmm. You know, this it truly is a parent's worst nightmare. It totally is. And I do this podcast because I want people to live a healthier, inspired life. And sometimes inspiration appears out of nowhere when a person is at their lowest point to help carry them through. And I'm hoping your story inspires others when they may be facing a loss or have fallen on hard times. So, Dawn, can you share with us what was it that helped carry you through this unimaginable loss?
Well, I thank God for my faith. My faith definitely had a very, very large part in my healing and my recovery. I remember one time I was in my kitchen. This was shortly after we had buried Angelica. And, you know, it was a four-car accident. There were 9 serious injuries, and my daughter was the only fatality. So I remember just battling with, why, God, why was it her? Out of so many people, why was it her? And then I went out to my mailbox, and there was a letter in there. And somebody said that they were reaching out to me because they heard about the story. And they had included an excerpt from Don Piper's book, 90 Minutes in Heaven. And that story just resonated with me because I felt like it paralleled exactly what I was going through at that point in time in my life. And I kind of, in a way, felt some kind of relief that everything was going to be okay. And I really do believe that was divine intervention.
So it was called 90 Minutes in Heaven. Can you share with us what it said, what it contained?
It was the man's experience about an accident that he had been in, and it was very similar to the way my daughter's accident had happened. But it just left me feeling hopeful in a strange way. You know, like this had come in at this particular point in my life, you know, and he described like how heaven was, and obviously he didn't succumb to the injuries, but I felt like my daughter was at peace. It was a way to say, she's okay. Even though this happened, she's safe, and you're going to be okay with it.
So when you read that, did that really start your journey then to healing? That was your first step?
That was definitely a part of my healing. You know, although I was battling with why it happened, I always knew in the back of my head that God was in control. That's why I thank God for my faith, because I know God doesn't make mistakes, and I know nothing happens without God allowing it to happen or just knowing that what's going to happen in general. And I knew that this all was part of a plan. I couldn't explain it, but, you know, the Bible clearly tells us that God's ways are not our ways and his thoughts are not our thoughts. So really, who was I to question what was going on? You know, so I might
think... Did you start feeling that right away, or was it after you read 90 Minutes in Heaven, or were you already starting to feel it, that, as you just said, you know, God has a plan for everyone? Were you starting to think that at that point, and then the 90 Minutes in Heaven really kind of kicked that thought into gear?
Definitely. I knew that God's hand was in it all the way, because in my book I had mentioned that morning of the accident, I was in my rocking chair and I was praying. And I always say my prayers in the morning when I have my cup of coffee. And all of a sudden, I just felt compelled to pray for the safety of the kids in the car. Don't ask me why. It just was a thought that dropped into my head. So I always had that God is in control in the back of my head. But reading that was kind of like, it was solidifying to me that, you know, yes, everything is okay. And here's another proof of that, that nothing happens without God being involved in it.
You talk about having a foreboding thought. That was it? You were sitting in your rocking chair and all of a sudden this thought came over you?
Absolutely. It was unbelievable. And I went right into my bedroom. I got on my knees. I prayed for the kids in the car. I said, Lord God, grant them traveling mercies. And it wasn't until an hour and a half later that I received the phone call. And I was actually told that if the car that they were driving in was going just a little bit slower, that the impact would have been directly to the fuel tank, and most likely the entire car would have gone up and killed all of the passengers in the car. So I remember just thanking God that I didn't bury both of my daughters. I buried one, and the other one came away, thank God, unscathed. Mm.
This is just such a difficult story. And for those of us with kids that are old enough to drive, every time they leave in a car, there's a little bit of a worry involved. Dr. Nappy, for someone struggling with a loss and they're unable to get to where you are today, can you give some advice? How do they get to where you are right now?
Thankfully, my parents always raised me with a spirituality and a faith. So I believe that definitely was a tremendous, tremendous help in my healing. I often wonder about people who don't have a faith to fall back on when they go through these experiences in life. I don't know how they do it personally, because I know that this is how I got through it. And I can't imagine, you know, not having that that crutch, I guess you could say, although I hate to use the word crutch because it's not a crutch, but just having that source of supernatural strength.
That belief, maybe?
That belief, absolutely. That belief definitely just makes you want to continue on. And, of course, every day I remind myself, my faith tells me I will see my daughter again. And I remember being on my porch one night. I think it was the night that we buried Angelica. And I remember calculating. I was 38 years old at the time. And I remember saying, if God left me on this planet another 20 or 30 years, times 365, that would be how many more days it would be until I saw her face again. That's what I was reduced to. I was battling with, you know, the strength to go on and the hopelessness. But then I reminded myself, God promised that I will see her again. And that's what gets me up every single day, knowing that I will see my daughter because God promises that. And that's really what is my driving force to continue on in my life. So I can't imagine the people who don't have that. You know, what is it that makes them continue on? Because I know for me, that's the reason why I get out of bed in the morning.
So maybe we can help that person. If there is someone that's not overly spiritual or religious that is still in that position of why, how can they find some peace and healing in this?
Well, you know, I've learned that we are definitely not in control of anything that goes on in this life. And that is a very, very hard thing to come to grips with, especially when, you know, you're like myself and you have a type A personality and you want everything to, you know, to be perfect all the time. But life isn't like that at all. You know, and this was a typical example of how my husband and I did everything we could to keep our daughter safe, raised her the right way and instilled in her principles and values. And here, you know, she goes out that dreaded day and she's killed at the hands of someone else. You know, you don't know what life is going to throw your way. And you have to accept that you're not in control of what life brings. You know, everything happens in this lifetime for a reason. And don't you think, I mean, I wish I would have been able to control my daughter going in the car that day. I battled with what if I didn't let her go to the sleepover. But you know what? It was meant to be. It was meant to be. And you know, you have to accept that, and you have to know that everything happens in this world for a reason.
Dr. Nabry, you say forgiveness has been part of the key to your healing, and you even have a dedication in your book to the man responsible for your daughter's death, and you say there is hope for all those suffering at the hands of addiction, and you don't have to live under that stronghold anymore. Can you tell me more about that and that dedication to the man that did this?
Actually, I did not have this sense of forgiveness right from the start when there's so much to it. It's all described in my book. On the way to the arraignment, I remember I was reading Bible verses because I told my husband, I just don't know how I will react when I see the man who killed our daughter. And I was trying to really prepare myself mentally for that whole thing. And I went from actually hiding behind the bushes for him to when he walked into the courthouse and being very irate to having this overwhelming sense to forgive him. It was like I did a complete 180. And I realized that's probably the best thing that I could have ever done for myself because I was so consumed initially with anger and hatred and wanting to just get revenge on this man that I realized that I can't live my life productively if I'm going to harbor these resentments and have this vendetta because it's not healthy. I mean, here I was a teacher. I was in front of third grade students, and I couldn't be filled with all of these ill emotions and be productive or be the best that I could be in my role as a wife, a mother, and a teacher. So I attribute it to God for gracing me with that ability because it just came on me so suddenly. It was like, I need to find this man and I need to forgive him. I need to know that I am okay, that I am okay, and that he will be okay. It became like I can't even explain it. I had to find him. I had to find him, and I had to let him know that I was okay with it. I was okay with it, and that he was going to be okay. And the fact that he would be okay was crucial to my healing. Because, again, I felt like if he didn't come out a better person from this, being that he had a new lease on life, then I would feel like nothing really went positively from this whole thing. I believed in making something positive come out of this horrible situation. So he was my avenue of hope. He really was. He was my avenue of hope. And I became just impassioned to try and reach out to him to help him. You know, and I believed that God gave him a new lease on life, because the injuries that all of the people in that crash sustained were very, very serious. And they all were blessed to be able to recover from these injuries and have a second chance at life.
Were you able to find him and tell him that you...
Yes, I did. Yes, I did. I made it my point. In fact, I was getting flooded with emails from people, and Newsday, we were in Newsday, and people were reaching out to us, and it was through one of these email messages that I got that I was able to find out where his sister worked. And I went and I bought a cross and a chain to give to her, to give to him. And I had even mailed him a Bible to prison, and I explained to him, I'm like, please, you know, you need to change your life. You need to do this for Angelica. And it was just so important that I reach out to him and I let him know. And I was very, very grateful that I was able to do this, that I was able to find him, and I was able to just have that conversation with him so that he knew exactly what I was hoping would be the outcome for him.
So you actually had a conversation with him?
Yes. Yes.
And what was, can you tell us what that was like? What were his reactions?
Well, from the day that I hid in the bushes and I saw him, you know, walk by with his attorney, I kind of jumped out in front of him and I said, I wanted to look the man who killed my daughter in the eyes. And he never even looked up. He had sunglasses on. And he just said, I'm sorry for your loss. But the way he said it to me, it sounded so unremorseful that I ended up just going crazy. I said, is that all you could say, that you're sorry for my loss? And I think I made such a commotion that my husband had realized I was missing, and he came running out and he brought me inside. But I was just so aggravated and so angry, because I felt like he really didn't even care. And then when we were inside and the judge was reading off his previous convictions, I literally felt my blood just start to boil in my body, because I was just enraged that this man would even think about being on the road, and was in court that morning, told by the judge, don't get behind the wheel of a car. And then 3 hours later, you know, he ends up killing my daughter. So it was very difficult. It was difficult initially, and then I just said, you know what, I can't harbor these resentments anymore. I have to do something, because it was more for myself. It was freeing for me, because I knew that I was just so consumed with anger, that the best thing I could do was to tell this man, listen, I forgive you. And, you know, I may have lost my daughter. My daughter was a victim, but I refuse to be a victim to you too.
Wow, that's really, really powerful. And part of your healing then was letting go of that anger, because holding on to that anger inside of you would have basically ruined you with all of that pent-up anger inside of you forever. So it sounds to me, I'm not a doctor, I mean, I'm just listening to your story, but getting that out, and then you said you had to make something positive of it, and you called him your avenue of hope, and that's when that inspiration hit. And that's that really turned things for you.
Yes, absolutely.
So for someone listening who may be going through this, I hope not, but if someone is listening to this and they saw the title and they're grappling with this right now, letting go of that anger no matter how tough it is, and learning to forgive and finding faith are the keys to moving on and regaining and reclaiming your life.
Right, absolutely.
What an inspirational story, Dawn. Thank you so much for sharing with us. Well, coming up, we're going to get the high five with Dr. Dawn Nappy. And if I could ask a favor, I have one simple goal for this podcast. I want people to walk away with something they've heard to improve their life, to make their life better, to have more meaning, to have more joy. And if we do that, I believe we slowly make the world a better place. So we're trying to reach the most people we can. If you can, jump on over to iTunes after the interview with Dawn and rate and review the show. Leave comments. Tell me what you think. And by doing that, we gain a wider audience. So if you could take 30 seconds and do that, I would greatly appreciate it. The High Five with Dr. Nappy is next. Which Way is Life is brought to you by Audible.com. And just for listening to Which Way is Life, first off, thank you. Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the opportunity to check it out. I am into Well-Designed Life by Kyra Bobinette. It's a book with 10 lessons in brain science and design thinking for a mindful, healthy, purposeful life. It's really good stuff. If you want to check it out, you can, or other books, just go to audibletrial.com/whichwayislife. Again, that's audibletrial.com/whichwayislife for your free audio book. Which Way is Life is also brought to you by Real Salt. Now, you probably already use sea salt on your food because you know of its health benefits, but is your salt real? Take a look at the ingredients panel. You might be surprised at what you see. A lot of salts contain fillers, anti-caking chemicals, even dextrose, which is a type of, yes, sugar. And you want to find a salt that hasn't been stripped of its minerals or had chemicals added. Real Salt brand is an unrefined salt from an ancient ocean in central Utah. Now think about our oceans today. Certainly not as clean as they used to be. Real Salt brand sea salt formed long before man-made pollution was a problem. With Real Salt, you get all the minerals, all the flavor, and all the benefits of sea salt that's real. Real Salt brand sea salt. Find it at your local health food store or go to realsalt.com. Time for the high five with Dr. Dawn Marie Nappy, my guest today. Dawn, are you ready?
Yes.
Question number one, can you share a quote with us that you that maybe helped get you through this or one that you cling on to that you really like?
Yes, it would be, "The Lord is close to the brokenhearted."
Short and simple and to the point.
Yes.
Number two, knowing what you know now, what advice would you give to your younger self?
To appreciate everyone in your life because they're here today and they could be gone tomorrow.
Question number three, for someone that may be going through this right now, right in front of you, if they walked up to you and said, "I need help," what would you say to them?
I would say that God is in control, and this did not take him by surprise. And you need to know that things will be okay. You will get through it.
Number four, can you share a book or a resource that was helpful in your healing process?
The actual book, you know, I've read so many different books on grieving, the grieving process, and you know, I would be remiss if I just gave you the name of one because there were just so many. But I have to say, the Bible was my ultimate source of healing. The story of Job in particular, because I felt like Job and I could relate to Job and what he went through with losing his family and the devastation that he went through, and yet he never lost his faith in God.
And number five, throughout my life, if you could finish this sentence, throughout my life, the most important thing I've learned is?
To forgive, because forgiveness is freeing, and you don't want to be held hostage to ill emotions of anger and hate, because you will never reach your life's potential.
Well, Dr. Nappy, that's wonderful. Thank you so much for sharing that with us, and thank you for sharing this story, and I'm so sorry about your loss of Angelica, but through it, you are definitely helping people with their own loss and their own grieving. So we thank you so much for that. How can someone connect with you if they want to learn more about you or reach out to you?
I have an email. It is at that moment, 1218@gmail.com. In fact, that is also in the back of my book, At That Moment. So if anybody wants to talk to me and, you know, just reach out to me, they can reach me there. And we are in the process, actually, of setting up an author's blog, which is still in the makings. But as soon as that gets solidified, I will definitely let you know.
And Dr. Nappy, where can we find your book, At That Moment?
At That Moment is available at Amazon.com, and you can also order it directly through West Bow Press.
And we will put a link to that book on the show notes page for you so you can find it very easily. Dr. Marie Nappy, again, I'm sorry for your loss, but thank you so much for sharing your story with us. We appreciate it.
It is my pleasure. My pleasure. Thank you for your time as well.
And thank you again, Dr. Nappy, and thank you so much for listening. And remember, enjoy the little things in life, because one day you will look back and realize they were the big things. Thank you so much for listening. Remember to catch every episode of Which Way Is Life. Just hit subscribe on iTunes or my show page at RadioMD.com. And again, if I can ask a favor, please take 30 seconds and rate the podcast on iTunes. The reason being is we want to attract more people just like you to the show. And when you rate it, it helps the show gain more visibility. And please leave a review as well. If you could do that for me, I would appreciate it. Which Way Is Life is produced by RadioMD.com, award-winning health podcast. I'd also like to thank my producer, Pamela Moore. I'm Bill Klaproth. You can find me at Which Way Is Life on Twitter. You can also check out the show notes at RadioMD.com for all of my episodes. We're also on Facebook at Which Way Is Life. Thanks for listening and stay well. Thank you.